Blog Talk Radio. Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact Health Consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Tanja Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.body.com. Bye-bye.com.
now listening to Lively Day with Jay. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 646-668-8743. That number again is 646-668-8743. Guys, I have no idea what's going on with Facebook. I'm going to have to stop going on live Facebook. I'm going to have to go to Instagram or go to the YouTube channel because Facebook tripping. But anyhow, number 646-668-8743. God, they got me all messed up today. I don't know what that's all about. But anyhow, talking a little bit about what's been going on in Gastonia. And one of the things that has really, really got me thinking is the candidacy for the mayor. And I know there's some new people that are throwing their name in the hat. And I think that's great for, you know, to have different opinions to look at, to think about. But as I told you on yesterday's show, you definitely need to be able to distinguish who you want to actually represent you. And, you know, it's not only that, but you have to be cognizant to what's going on around you. You got to know what your needs are in your community, and you got to, you know, demand those needs to be met in your community, because that's the only way that we're going to get to the next level. Now, I said at the beginning of the show that we were going to talk a little bit about some religion. And, you know, with you guys not being able to hear the music, I don't know if I want to even go that route, because there's some things that I want you to listen to. And I want you to listen to it, and I can only give it to you on the social media. Now, unless you call the show. If you call the show, you can hear it with the music and everything. So, again, I'm going to tell you, the number is 646-668-8743, and you will be able to hear everything. I don't know, again, why you guys are not able to hear the music or whatever the case may be while I am on Facebook streaming. Beats me, but, you know, I'm not even going to worry about that. Religion. Religion's funny. Religion is a person's pathway to a higher being, to their creator. Now, I don't know everything about religion. I'm definitely not claiming to be a pastor or a minister or whatever, imam or whatever you want to call it. I'm not claiming to be any of that. But what I do know is that people have used religion and continuing to use religion as a vice of separation. And I'm telling you, whoever invented using religion as a vice of separation is a very smart individual, because it has proven to continue to separate people every day, for years, for centuries, for decades. It's been a device used to keep people arguing with one another about someone that they've never, ever laid eyes on in their life, and that's your creator. Now, along with that, there's other things that go along with that that people use to divide us and to continue to make us not be on one accord with one another. But, you know, that is the biggest thing. And as I stated yesterday, on yesterday's show, we have to do a little bit better than what we're doing when it comes to showing people what religion can do for a community, what having faith can do for a community. And let me get this straight first and foremost. Having faith and a religion and having a religion are basically two different things. They're two different things. A religion is a ritual. A religion is a ritual that most people follow, and I follow it, and, you know, and can be very touchy at times, can be very touchy at times. Now, I'm talking about religion because, as you guys know, I always tie it back into what we're mainly talking about, and what we're mainly talking about is the mayoral race in Gastonia, North Carolina. And I try to tie religion into that because most people base their votes on what religion a candidate is. I know, absolutely stupid to me. I think it's absolutely stupid to me. And I don't know why it's like that, but it is. You can have the best ideas, you can have the greatest intentions, you can have the best heart, and you can be out in the community and you can be doing great things. But if you're not the religion or religious preference that others feel you should be, good chance you won't win. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I really want you guys to listen to this this clip I want to play. But let me know if you can't hear it on Facebook Live, and we'll figure out something. But I got to play it for my listeners that are listening via phone, and the ones that are listening in different states and all that good stuff and online. So I definitely need to play it. I'm going to play a little bit of this clip, and I want you to just listen. Like I said before, I give you the information, and what you do with it is up to you. But I just want to give you the information. So here's a different twist on some stories or some things that we have been told throughout the years about religion. Do what you want to with the information, but I just want to give it to you. So here's the clip.
This baby in a basket story was lifted directly from the myth of Sargon of Akkad of around 2250 BC. Sargon was born, placed in a reed basket in order to avoid infanticide, and set adrift in a river. He was in turn rescued and raised by Aki, a royal midwife. Furthermore, Moses is known as the lawgiver, the giver of the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. However, the idea of a law being passed from God to a prophet up on a mountain is also a very old motif. Moses is just another lawgiver in a long line of lawgivers in mythological history. In India, Manu was the great lawgiver. In Crete, Minos ascended Mount Dicta, where Zeus gave him the sacred laws. While in Egypt, there was Mises, who carried stone tablets, and upon them the laws of God were written. Manu, Minos, Mises, Moses. And as far as the Ten Commandments, they are taken outright from spell 125 in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. What the Book of the Dead phrased, "I have not stolen," became "thou shalt not steal." "I have not killed" became "thou shalt not kill." "I have not told lies" became "thou shalt not bear false witness," and so forth. In fact, the Egyptian religion is likely the primary foundational basis for the Judeo-Christian theology. baptism, afterlife, final judgment, virgin birth, death and resurrection, crucifixion, the Ark of the Covenant, circumcision, saviors, Holy Communion, Great Flood, Easter, Christmas, Passover, and many, many more are all attributes of Egyptian ideas long predating Christianity and Judaism. Justin Martyr, one of the first Christian historians and defenders, wrote, "When we say that he, Jesus Christ, our teacher, was produced without sexual union, was crucified and died and rose again and ascended into heaven, we propound nothing different from what you believe regarding those who you esteem sons of Jupiter." In a different writing, Justin Martyr said, "He was born of a virgin. Accept this in common with what you believe of Perseus." It's obvious that Justin and other early Christians knew how similar Christianity was to the pagan religions. However, Justin had a solution. As far as he was concerned, the devil did it. The devil had the foresight to come before Christ and create his characteristics in the pagan world.
Fundamentalist Christianity, fascinating. These people actually believe the world is 12,000 years old. Swear to God. I actually asked one of these guys, okay, dinosaur fossils. He says, "Dinosaur fossils? God put those here to test our faith." I think God put you here to test my faith, dude.
The Bible is nothing more than an astrotheological literary hybrid, just like nearly all religious myths before it. In fact, the aspect of transference of one character's attributes to a new character can be found within the book itself. In the Old Testament, there is the story of Joseph. Joseph was a prototype for Jesus. Joseph was born of a miracle birth. Jesus was born of a miracle birth. Joseph was of 12 brothers. Jesus had 12 disciples. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Brother Judah suggests the sale of Joseph. Disciple Judas suggests the sale of Jesus. Joseph began his work at the age of 30. Jesus began his work at the age of 30. The parallels go on and on. Furthermore, is there any non-biblical historical evidence of any person living with the name Jesus, the son of Mary, who traveled about with 12 followers, healing people and the like? There are numerous historians who lived in and around the Mediterranean, either during or soon after the assumed life of Jesus. How many of these historians document this figure? Not one. However, to be fair, that doesn't mean defenders of the historical Jesus haven't claimed the contrary. Four historians are typically referenced to justify Jesus' existence. Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, and Tacitus are the first three. Each one of their entries consists of only a few sentences at best, and only referred to Christus or the Christ, which in fact is not a name but a title. It means the Anointed One. The fourth source is Josephus, and this source has been proven to be a forgery for hundreds of years. Sadly, it is still cited as truth. You would think that a guy who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven for all eyes to see and performed the wealth of miracles acclaimed to him would have made it into the historical record. It didn't, because once the evidence is weighed, there are very high odds that the figure known as Jesus did not even exist.
We don't want to be unkind, but we want to be factual. We don't want to cause hurt feelings, but we want to be academically correct in what we understand and know to be true. Christianity just is not based on truth. We find that Christianity was in fact nothing more than a Roman story developed politically.
The reality is, Jesus was the solar deity of the Gnostic Christian sect, and like all other pagan gods, he was a mythical figure. It was the political establishment that sought to historize the Jesus figure for social control. By 325 AD in Rome, Emperor Constantine convened the Council of Nicaea. It was during this meeting that the politically motivated Christian doctrines were established, and thus began a long history of Christian bloodshed and spiritual fraud. And for the next 1,600 years, the Vatican maintained a political stranglehold on all of Europe, leading to such joyous periods as the Dark Ages, along with enlightening events such as the Crusades and the Inquisition. Christianity, along with all other theistic belief systems, is the fraud of the age. It serves to detach the species from the natural world, and likewise each other. It supports blind submission to authority. It reduces human responsibility to the effect that God controls everything, and in turn, awful crimes can be justified in the name of a divine pursuit. And most importantly, it empowers those who know the truth, but use the myth to manipulate and control societies. The religious myth is the most powerful device ever created and serves as the psychological soil upon which other myths can flourish.
A myth is an idea that, while widely believed, is false. In a deeper sense, in the religious sense, a myth serves as an orienting and mobilizing story for a people. The focus is not on the story's relation to reality, but on its function. A story cannot function unless it is believed to be true in the community or the nation. It is not a matter of debate. If some people have the bad taste to raise the question of the truth of the sacred story, the keepers of the faith do not enter into debate with them. They ignore them or denounce them as blasphemers.
It is wrong, blasphemous, and sinful for you to suggest, imply, or help other people come to the conclusion that the U.S. government killed 3,000 of its own citizens. Until we reach the sky, we gotta keep vibing.
Someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me. I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class. Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid Enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
Weekdays at 5 o'clock p.m. to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen or call in by dialing 347-945-7405. Again, that's 347-945-7405. And that's the voice of the community. So tune in to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, guys. You know what? There's so much going on with this show today. I think somebody ain't want me to do it. But I am really, really, really eager. And I know y'all see me messing with this, and I bet y'all think, boy, Jay crazy, I don't know what. But I got to fix it, y'all, because it's killing me. I strive for nothing but perfection when it comes to my radio show. And I'm not getting that today, but it looks like now that I am where I need to be when it comes to this show. Earlier we were talking a little bit about, well, let me tell you this first. Number to call 646-668-8743. And real quick, let me say that I am really happy that South Philly has joined us again. Guys, I appreciate the love you give me in South Philly. Please continue to support the show. I want to say thank you to Little Rock, Arkansas, Bakersfield, California, Houston, Texas. Houston, that is. I don't need to call out the whole place, I guess. And Chicago, New York, and there was one more. I can't remember which one it was, so please. Oh, Flagstaff. I appreciate you guys checking out the show and continuing to support the show, because there's so many things that I want to get out to those in the public eye. Now, I'm going to piggyback, because we have been listening to clips on the show. But I'm going to piggyback on what we spoke about yesterday, because a lot of you guys said that you did not get to hear the clip that I played. I'm going to play this clip from the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama was speaking to a student body at Stanford University. And I told y'all yesterday, on yesterday's show, that we need to learn a little bit more compassion. We need to learn how to accept each other for who we are and stop holding our differences against one another. I told you that on yesterday's show. And I played this clip, and it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense what was being said. And it's so relevant in today's world that you guys really need to pay attention to what this clip is saying. Here's the clip of the Dalai Lama, and we're going to talk about it afterwards.
Stanford University.
Courtesy of Stanford University.
Changing mind only through compassion or education, not by force. We have to find ways and means to solve that through dialogue. In order to carry meaningful dialogue, first, it is necessary to respect the other who have different view. Consider part of we, part of humanity, my future also depend on them. So respect and listen their interest and tell them our interest and try to find mutually agreeable solution. That's the only way. Like a Palestine problem. Both sides stand firm. Then confrontation. Now 21st century, now 10 years passed, now 90 years yet to come. Now these young people, you are the people who belongs 21st century. My generation belongs 20th century, already gone. Now ready to say goodbye. So these young people, now you should think how to bring this century, more peaceful century, more compassionate century. So, peace, compassionate, does not mean no longer any problem. Problem there. So long human being there, human interest is there, different interest, different views, always there. There is no other alternative, only through talk. That's the wisdom side. Then respect others' interest, genuine sense of concern of others' well-being. That's the basis. So combine these two things, genuine spirit of dialogue can develop. What do you think? Do you agree?
The Dalai Lama speaking, courtesy Stanford University. I can't explain how that short clip made me feel with what's going on in today's world. I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I was telling you guys, I was assuming that you guys could hear everything that I was doing, but I didn't know Facebook was playing games yesterday and you couldn't hear the clips or the music or anything, but I hopefully you can hear it now. But the Dalai Lama, I'm telling you, if we don't take anything serious, we need to take the fact that there are people who are different. People are different. We know we live in a diverse world. So why do we expect everyone to think the same way? Why do we expect everyone to act the same way? Why do we expect people to get to God the same way when our world is so diverse? Why do we continue to make people feel out of place because they don't think like you? Why do we teach our children to have tunnel vision when it comes to accepting others' differences? And just so you know, I don't think that's working, because our young people are showing us how to be diverse in their approach, how to be diverse in their everyday living, how to be diverse in even the times we have to scold them. We got it backwards. Our young people showing us how to act. But yet and still, we say that we love God. We say that we are following God's commands. We say that we are living the life Jesus wants us to live. But yet and still, we do everything opposite of what we've been taught and told all of our lives. You got to accept differences. You got to. You cannot tell me you want to be a leader and you can't accept people being different than you. Y'all, I told you, it's some buffoonery going on in Gaston County. There's some buffoonery going on all around the world. If you guys didn't know what was going on TV today, which I think was just absolutely hilarious. I'm not going to get off into that now. But I'm telling you, at some point in time, we got to realize that everybody's not the same. We got to accept each other's differences. And once we accept each other's differences, then we continue to build off that. Being different don't make you wrong. Being different just gives you an identity of who you are. And it's easy to say, okay, if you don't want to accept me, then I'll go about my business. Don't worry about it. We need each other, guys. I don't care what you say. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other to be able to make it to the next level. And that don't matter if you're black, white, green, blue, or purple. It don't matter if you're Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Jewish, whatever. It don't matter. We need each other. And as soon as people realize that we need each other and that we're going to have to accept our differences in order for us to move on, then that's when things are going to start changing for a more positive overtone. We won't be letting anybody on TV tell us that we are divided because we're poor or you're rich or you're black or you're white or you're Muslim or you're Christian or you're Jewish or you're a Catholic, whatever. We won't have anybody telling us that we're different. You know, I look at some of these other places, man, and I think to myself, where have we went wrong? Why is it that people are just busting their brains to get to this place, to this land? When if you're standing off afar and you're looking, you have to ask yourself, why would somebody want to be here when all these people do is fight one another? What all these people do is go against everything that the other person do. These people won't help one another. Why I want to get to a place like that? And we all have the ability. Kevin, you're right. All we have in this world is each other. All we have in this world is each other. And for those of you who think differently about that, man, go get on a rocket and go somewhere else. Sign up to go to Mars. You might find some people think like you there. I'm telling you, there are times where we are going, and the time is now, where we need to stand together as one. No color. No religious overtone. Just people. Just be people. I'm not telling you to give up your religion. I ain't going to give up. Mine. I ain't gonna give up my belief to my path to God. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying at some point in time, we need to be just people. And once we realize that we are people who are afflicted with the same things, then we'll start seeing that we can overcome this if we put our heads together and become one. This is crazy, y'all. This is crazy. I sit and I listen to some of the people speak, and these are people who are looked up to. Who are looked up to. And I know you guys got your favorite radio shows and this, that, and the other in the mornings, and I'm not going to call out no names and this, that, and the other. But you know what? Some of these people are on there for mere comedy and not the seriousness of what's going on. There's things going on in these communities, y'all. There are people getting hit over the head for no reason. There are people being wrongfully accused. There are people getting put away for no reason. And it's going on everywhere and nobody's paying attention. Or nobody wants to say that they're paying attention. But yet and still you have people who are still running around here flying hateful flags, giving hateful rhetoric. But on the same token, to be the same ones tell you, I love you. God told me to love you, and I love you. But yet and still you holding something very, very, very disrespectful in my face. I seen a guy, real sidebar. I seen a guy in a store the other day, and he walked past me, and he had a Confederate flag on his shirt on the front, and the front of it stated, "You wouldn't understand. It's a heritage thing, not hate." But on the back, it had a person giving you the middle finger, and it was all created in the pattern of the Confederate flag. But I wouldn't understand. It's a heritage thing, not hate. I don't want to go off on this right now because that's for another show. But let's be 100% clear. The Confederate flag does not represent love. I don't care who you are. And if you want to come on this show and we'll debate it, I promise you, I have enough in my knowledge to let you know that what you think is false. It does not represent love. It was not created for love. Don't let nobody else tell you different. Those are the things that are keeping this fuel for division going in our land. Educate your young people. Educate them so that they will know. And I know a lot of people are like, why are we talking about this? Well, we have to talk about it. If we don't talk about it, it repeats itself. It repeats itself, guys. And I don't want our young people to have to deal with some of the atrocities of race or racial overtones in their community. I don't. But I tell you what we can do. We can start showing them the right way. And by showing them the right way, I mean we can start being better people towards our neighbors. We can be better neighbors. We can be better friends. We can be just better people. We can treat each other the way that we are meant to treat each other. Now, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I've had my times too where, you know, I feel like I didn't do the right things in life. Did I learn from them? Yeah, I did. I learned from them. Did I try to make amends? Yeah, I tried to make amends. And there's some that accepted it, and there's some that didn't. But you know what? That's your shortcoming. I extended the olive branch and you smacked it away, so it's okay. We'll meet somewhere down the road, somewhere. Maybe there'll be another chance. Oh, I see you, D. You said they're not going to educate them because they can't afford to give up the upper hand they think they have. You're right. You're right. They do think that they have an upper hand. But on the same token, because they feel like they have an upper hand and they're not going to teach them, don't let us fall into that trap. We continue to teach. We continue to show our young people the right way. We continue to be model citizens, model parents, model friends, model neighbors, just model people, good model people. And I promise you, our young people are watching us. They're watching us. And if we don't put those things in order, then yeah, we're setting our kids. How many times? And I know you used to work in the Boys and Girls Club with me. How many times have you seen a young kid that just act up like they ain't had nobody's home training? Nobody's home training, just acting up. You trying to figure out for the life of you, what is wrong with this child acting the way they act? Then you meet the parents, and the parents come in there and they act just like them. That's a problem. And it's a stereotypical problem. It's a stereotypical problem that's happening because nobody is trying to show that child the right way. They're trying to be their friends. They're trying to act like them. Trying to be more cool than they are. They want to do cool things so that their children will not think that they are their parents, that they are their friends. Wrong. That is just the wrong way to be. Because you're showing your young people all the wrong ways to be. Sack Life, you're right. People should embrace instead of disgrace each other. You're right. I agree with that. But I ask you this question. Has there been so much damage done on this land that people are not willing to forget? You know, there's been a lot of bad things happen to people on this land, to black people on this land, a lot. And I don't know if it's so deeply embedded that people can't change, or people just don't want to change because they're afraid of the outcome. For some strange reason, there are a lot of people scared to be successful, scared to make our children get on the road to success. I feel like we've dropped the ball. Our era has dropped the ball for our young people. And I also feel the young people after us, they acknowledge that and that they're going to fix this. I know you guys say the millennials, this, that, and the other, are not caring about what's. I don't think it's going to be the millennials. I think it's going to be the Zers. I think those are going to be the ones that show you what harmonious living should look like. You know, I look at my own children. My children see no color when it comes to their friends, when it comes to who they choose to invite to their birthday parties or whatever the case, they see no color. And I urge them to not see any color. Because if you're going to be a friend, it don't matter what color you are. If you're going to be nice to someone, it don't matter what color you are. But you have to instill that into the young people. That's not being done. Number to call 646-668-8743. Guys, I'm sorry that today's show was plagued by so many technical difficulties, but I promise you tomorrow's show will not be. We'll be on point again as we always are on this show. And I'm hoping to be able to talk to some of the candidate. I'm hoping to be able to bring Mayor Reed on this show this week. I'm pretty sure I will. If not this week, I know we'll probably be able to get him on next week. But I definitely want to bring him on. I'm bringing him on before I bring anybody else on. One, because he's our mayor. Two, because I've heard the rhetoric in the neighborhood. I've heard some of the negative overtone. And I want to be the first to give him a chance to come on here and set the record straight. And trust me, I promise you, he's going to set the record straight. But that's part of that being negative to each other, what I was talking about earlier. And for some of the other candidates, I want to bring them on the show also. But I want you guys to know, and females to know, being negative is not going to get my vote. I've already told you that. And I know there's a lot of other people out there who feel the same way. I have never in my life seen a group of people who is so against someone that looked like them. I have never in my life. But always in my life, that's profound. That's profound for me to sit here and say, I have never seen that before, but I have always experienced it. It's profound, but it happens every day. And if you guys just wake up, look around. Facebook is a festering nest pool, or zest pool, I shall say, for negative overtone. Negative over the age. I'm going to tell you something else. People are bad on Facebook. People are bad when you, Dave, they can talk $1 million worth of junk on Facebook. When you see them face to face, they our and stuttering. Y'all better stop trying to be Facebook bullies out there. I'm telling you, that's not a good thing, because, you know, people don't take nicely to that. Stop being Facebook bullies. Start being real with one another. Because there's people out there who just don't tolerate that. And I'm not saying that's right either, but stop being bullies, man. I'm telling you, bullies is not a good thing. Start being adults. Start being adults with a mind that can get to the masses and the young people. That was my cue, guys. I tell you this, if you don't tell no one this, tell someone this today. Tell them you love them, because you never get a chance to, you don't know if you got a chance to do it tomorrow, because everybody knows that tomorrow's not promised. So I tell you guys that I love you with the greatest love that I know. And that is the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. I truly, truly appreciate you guys supporting the show, because without you, I know the show would not be where it is. I started the show in 2009, and I'm going to continue to give you the platform that no one else will give you. I am your voice in this community, and I promise you this platform is for you. Whatever you need me, whatever you need for me to do, I am there, and I will stand with you as long as you are standing upright. I promise I will. I will not close this show or this platform off for people that have to get a message out that's positive. So as I say to you each and every day, assalamu alaikum, meaning peace be unto you. You guys have definitely been live in the day. Okay. Take me out tomorrow, so guys. I promise you.